The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February 13, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, USDA's Inspector General says 20 high risk for BSE downer cattle were slaughtered in a 12-month period, that from June of 2004 to 2005. And they made it into the human food supply. The Japanese, needless to say, are not happy. 2006 farm income expected to be lower, down by 23% this year. I suppose that means in March it'll be a pretty bad month. Meetings with the banker, don't you know? And farm organizations say the Bush administration's 2000 budget will be dead on arrival when it hits the Hill. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later this half hour. A little later in the program, too, we'll talk about how you can make a dollar an acre for your no-till and not have to do anything except stay with the no-till program. As you'll hear, it's all part of the Kyoto Protocol, and it all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. The near-my March wheat at 348, down 7.25. May contract down 7.25 today as well at 360. They were following the Kansas City Board of Trade lower. The March contract there down 15 cents today at $4.15 a bushel. From Chicago, the corn pit, the March contract 220.75, off a half today. The May futures at 231.25, off a half as well. And July at 239.75, down 3/4. December corn, 257. They finished a quarter lower. Soy complex now, March beans, 584.25 up to the May futures up 1.75, 597.75, and July soybeans at 607 finished a half higher. November's at 619.25 up a half of the day. March bean meal on the day at 108.05, rather, March bean meal at 182.70. They were up 220 for the day. March bean oil at 22.22. They were off a nickel. Now that 108.05, down $1.60 in the March feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle at 91.47.5. They were down $1.42.5. And the Feb lean hogs off 32.5 cents today at 58.87.5.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start at the Mercantile Exchange rather than at the Chicago Board of Trade today, where feeder cattle and live cattle both off fairly sharply in the nearby months.
Yeah, basically the fundamental event was the cattle sort of give the funds additional ammunition to liquidate longs. Was the snow event in the Northeast, and that pretty well sent concerns that it's going to slow down retail movement at restaurants, even at the grocery stores for a day or two, and back supplies up for a minute or two. Then also, too, we're looking at some negative news in the cutout values as ideas that maybe margins could slip here for a little bit. We're already at negative $45 a hundredweight. That's better than what it was, but in order for the Packers to stay in the killing mode in through here, say we need to see this scoot on up. It is better than a week ago. We were negative about $72, but we just need more strength in the product levels to bring back confidence to buy. But once the market took out last week, we saw another massive round of fund selling. Hogs was sort of a mixed event. We saw speculative selling and commercial hedging. That sort of kept a lid on it, even though we did see some higher cash bids through the country. But once again, the futures remain a premium to where the board is, and Packer margins need to sort of improve in here to give the courage for the packer to pay up for cash hogs.
On the cattle, any news or chatter on the squawk box after the general inspector general from USDA talked about these 20 head of cattle, downer cattle, that were at high risk? They didn't say they actually had BSE, but were high risk for BSE, that were slaughtered and made it into the food supply. We'll hear more about that during the news segment here just a bit later. From June 2004 to June 2005, that have much of an impact today?
Well, I've not seen anything that came across as a feature to send the market lower on that type of news. Here in the U.S., I think the news is downer cow or mad cow in general sort of been worked over good enough that I think it's going to have to be actual human case of someone dying from it that contracted it here to really get the market side. But, you know, you talk about Japan, for example. We're talking many, many cases in Japan, but yet they're concerned about our problems here.
Absolutely. They continue to have, and I think their numbers are well up over 20 by far, and I don't recall where that number is anymore, but maybe we can get it looked at and tell you about it later in the week. Now let's move to the Chicago Board of Trade from the Mercantile Exchange, where the wheat futures were following, I think, Kansas City lower. That March contract in the wheat down 15 cents in Chicago was off about 7 cents across the wheat pit today.
Yeah, there's some optimism that we could pick up some of this Iraqi business. Basically, Australia and Iraq are not talking to each other right now because of the instant oil for food inquiry taking place here, as Iraq has supposedly given Australia some kickbacks on doing some business with them, so they put their buying from Australia on hold. In return, that sort of put the U.S. in a position here to receive some Iraqi business. And you think they would, with all the help we've been giving them over the years, but an Iraqi official did state that wheat prices were too high and that Iraq was looking at alternative suppliers such as Europe and Canada. And that was sort of one of the fundamental catalysts that put the market on defensive, along with a better chance of some rain in the western belt, especially in the northern regions. That southwest continues to stay somewhat dry, and those two factors kicked in the sellings. We won't be below short-term support. Saw a lot unwinding of spreads. For the last month, 2 months, the trade's been buying Kansas City wheat, selling Chicago, buying Kansas City wheat, selling beans, buying Kansas City wheat, and selling corn. And I think we saw quite a bit unwinding of that spread, too, Todd.
That's interesting. President Bush's base in the Great Plains state, if they start dipping into their back pocket, that might change fairly quickly. It just an observation, not saying anything more than that. I was just looking at those numbers thinking, well, if they start hearing that kind of stuff, it won't be good for President Bush over time. Let's talk about what's been happening with the corn pit today, too, as well. It just following the wheat down a half cent?
Pretty much so. It did find some support on this unwinding the spread, especially Chicago. You look at the wheat down 7 and corn just down fractionally. But the ideas are that export business is still good in corn. Saw decent sales, even though it was at the lower end of the trade. I mean, shipments, we're shipping out what we're selling. We're only 18 million bushels behind last year's pace. But corn sort of caught in a trading range here. If you look at the charts, we're starting to build a wedge formation on those. I imagine the March lead contracts going to find good support in this 218, 215 area and resistance up towards the 230 area. But corn and grains in general is probably going to consolidate sideways here until we get a better handle on U.S. weather and what type of acreage we're going to put in the ground this spring.
When you say a wedge, are we talking about, I wasn't looking at this, so are we talking a pennant formation or some other, a wedge formation?
Well, it varies. If it keeps going sideways here and coiling, it'd be more of a pennant.
Okay, and then that usually means that it'll break out to either the upside or the downside at some point. What's your guess?
Well, it depends when and through here, but seasonally, as we get into March in here, if there's no real weather fear or fundamental supportive feature, oftentimes the breakout would be to the downside.
And that would not be something that most farmers would be interested in seeing, of course, unless they're on the short side of the market. And I know there will be some that are in that form. What are you telling producers to do at this point with their inventories on hand?
Well, we've been active sellers of the marketplace, rewarding the market on this rally through here. I think you got to be a scale-up seller in through here. We like being over 80% sold on the old crop and up to 20-30% priced on new crop as a general recommendation. You know, each one's different out there, and you're looking at different situations, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with being, you know, completely sold out here and look at some cash replacements. You know, as far as new crop goes, if you're looking at some of these insurance products, I would be inclined to push sales a little heavier than that.
And on the soy complex for the day?
Well, you talk about that pennant formation, that this bean market set to have a 70-cent move if you figure the breakout of that formation, either up or down, according to the direction of the breakout here. And so volatility in the beans are probably going to pick up here in the next 2 to 3 weeks as the market tries to get a handle on South American weather. Forecasters continue to push that rain event back a day or two. Now we're currently looking at some moisture for the dry areas of Argentina in that February 20th, 21st time window time.
And if you want to talk about that, or you're talking about when you break out of this one, probably a substantial move either to the upside or the downside, something down to $5 maybe on the downside risk?
It could be very well. The well-advertised area is the 520 to 510 area. Then, of course, on the upside, you add 70 cents to this 590 area, and that puts you close to 6.5 on the upside.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Very good.
And Kurt Kimmel joins us here on the Closing Market Report. He's with Grainfield Marketing. That happens on Monday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologists from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. And our own AM 580's Mike Sola forecast for tonight across the two-state region looks like this. He says skies will be clear to partly cloudy, lows from 22 in the north to 30 in the southern part of Illinois. And tomorrow it'll be partly to mostly sunny, a bit milder. Highs will range from 38 in northeastern Indiana to 55 in southwestern Illinois. By the way, we'd like to thank everyone who helped us meet our goal during our winter membership campaign. 870 listeners contributed to a total of $100,341.50 to WILL Radio during this past week. Thank you very much, especially to those 183 new members to the Friends of WILL. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, expect further delays in the reopening of Japan's border to U.S. beef after USDA's Inspector General revealed that 20 high-risk for BSE downer cattle were slaughtered for human consumption between June of 2004 and April of 2005. Japan's agricultural ministry intends to ask U.S. officials about the matter and what has been done to address the situation. In related news, Taiwanese officials now say they will hold U.S. beef shipments for 5 days to make sure that they meet the requirements for import. USDA says it expects net farm income to drop 23% this year due to a combination of falling grain prices and rising costs for everything from fuel to fertilizer to credit, USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins.
We see a sizable increase in cash expenses. Farm cash expenses in 2003 were about $188 billion. In 2006, 3 years later, we expect there'll be about $204 billion, a very sizable increase reflecting increases in interest rates and most prominently increases in diesel fuel, fertilizer costs, electricity costs, and propane, natural gas, other energy costs.
USDA says it expects agricultural producers to generate net farm income of $56.2 billion in 2006, compared with $72.6 billion last year. But Collins says, despite the short-term pain, USDA's long-term forecast calls for climbing farm income on growing exports and continued expansion of America's renewable fuels industry.
Over time, with a strong U.S. and world economy expected to prevail, we see exports steadily continue to rise. Ethanol becomes a very big demand factor, as well as continued growth in exports. the increase in domestic consumption, export demand, exports, by the way, rise to about $73 billion in the year 2010, and in particular, the demand for biofuels, together start to raise farm prices over the next several years.
The projections will be discussed in detail this week at the 82nd Annual Ag Outlook Forum in Washington, D.C. Farm organizations continue to say President Bush's 2007 ag budget will be dead on arrival when it hits Congress. The bottom line is another $3 billion in proposed cuts for USDA after Congress cut agriculture $2.7 billion this year. Analysts with the China National Grain and Oils Information Center predict the PRC will become a net importer of corn in 2 years. Analysts say corn stocks in China have been steadily declining since 2000, and a new law enacted last year will put additional pressure on stocks. The Renewable Energy Law of 2005 requires oil companies to sell biofuels according to provincial or central directives. An agricultural economist at Texas A&M University says the drought in Texas has already cost producers more than $1 billion. Steve Amason says hay has become hard to find.
The estimate on drought losses is $1.5 billion for the state. Now, a lot of this deals with the loss of hay. Hay production's down about 25%. And then, of course, no winter pastures, so they're having to feed cattle. So the combination effect of those stocker operators or cow-calf operators having to feed and spend more money and use hay, which is in less supply, hay prices in a lot of areas of the state have more than doubled. And what I'm afraid of, you know, we really haven't put in a whole lot of wheat losses into these figures, so I expect it to climb.
More than 90% of the state's range and pastures are in extreme stress condition. And Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss, a Republican from Georgia, now says he supports the administration's trade proposals. It has not always been the case. Chambliss made his remark after a closed-door meeting with U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman last week. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. You can see him tonight at the Effingham County Farm Bureau. That at 7 o'clock this evening when he'll be there along with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities, and Kim Holzapfel of Effingham Clay Service Company. That's this evening at the Effingham County Farm Bureau for another one of the WILL AM 580 Ag Outlook panels. It's the last one before our big March meeting over at the Beef House. That's the all-day Ag Outlook, but you can get a jump on it tonight if you're near the Effingham County Farm Bureau building at 7 o'clock. Pete Manhart, Mike Zuzolo, Kim Holzapfel, along with Dave Dickey to take a look at the marketplace. It's absolutely free. No registration is necessary. Well, up next, the Kyoto Protocol carries with it a way to make money. As you'll hear, farmers in the United States could take full advantage of the environmentally friendly world agreement if only the U.S. would ratify it and Europe would recognize no-till as a carbon sink. Here are the bullet points that farmers in Illinois heard during a recent extension meeting on carbon sequestration. When farmers produce their crops using no-till, they create what's called a carbon sink. A carbon sink is a storage bin for CO2, carbon dioxide. That's because plants take in and they use CO2 and release oxygen. So the plant material on the ground captures and holds the CO2. That makes no-till and waterways and conservation reserve program acres good carbon sinks, or storage areas. CO2 is also one of five greenhouse gases the Kyoto Protocol expects to regulate. It includes a way for nations, companies that emit these greenhouse gases in excess to trade them away to companies or nations that don't. And that's where the carbon sinks no-till farmers have already created can make them money. The Chicago Climate Exchange is in the business of pairing farmers or landowners that have these carbon sinks with companies or nations that need to trade off excess CO2 in order to meet their Kyoto Protocol contracts. Countries that ratify the Kyoto Protocol commit to reduce their emissions of carbon dioxide and the four other greenhouse gases. There's a catch. They don't really have to reduce emissions. They can simply trade them away. You have extra credits, and I'm over my limits. I'll buy some from you, and that'll make things even. That's where the climate exchanges come into play. Yes, there is more than one exchange, but they're owned by the same company. One operates in Europe and one here in the U.S. In the U.S., at the current rate, farmers can sell their carbon sink for about $1 an acre, or $2 per ton of carbon sequestered. That same amount of carbon is worth 10 times as much on the European exchange. There's a reason why. First, the U.S. has not ratified the Kyoto Protocol. The second's more important. Europe does not recognize carbon sinks in soil, farm fields. It might eventually, but that's not the case today. Still, if a U.S. farmer, a landowner, wants to sign a 4-year agreement to tie up carbon dioxide in no-till or even a waterway, they can do that today and pick up about $1 an acre. You can learn more on the Chicago Climate Exchange website. The address is www.chicagoclimatex.com. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You can check our website. We'll make sure that we put the link to the Chicago Climate Exchange up on our website at will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time now to take a look at the cash grain market on this Monday afternoon. Larry Wood of the Andersons here in Champaign County joining us from his office. Good afternoon to you, Larry.
How are you, Todd?
I'm very well this afternoon. Things starting to settle down there at the Andersons, or are folks still on the lines?
It's still pretty busy, and with prices up here where they are, we've got a lot of people that are interested in new crop corn at these price levels, and there's still a lot of old crop corn out there that hasn't been priced as well. But the markets don't seem to want to fall off here, even with the large carryouts that we're expecting this year. I think a lot of it's concerned. I know that there's been some push in the wheat market because of the dryness out west, and really we need some rain around here as well.
I was in Logan County over the weekend. I had a farmer say, "What are the Andersons saying about the marketplace? We hear they're the hottest commodity around and getting this thing right. So what's up from the head office in Maumee?"
My personal feeling is that I think the market probably stays sideways. I think there's a fair amount of air underneath these markets, and anytime the funds decide they want to jump ship, look out, because that could happen at any time. But I think right now the funds are concerned enough that they're staying in the corn market, at least for the time being, with the potential weather and also the potential usage, the increased ethanol usage that they're looking coming on board here in the next 12 months, going to have a pretty good demand out there, I think. So for the time being, they're going to sit there, and we're going to see prices move sideways. I wouldn't really expect to see them move any higher. On the beans, that's another, it's hard to reason why prices are this high with the South American crop looking like it's going to come off in pretty decent shape, and we could be looking at increased bean acreage last year, and a half a billion bushel carryout in soybeans is unheard of. So I think there's a fair amount of air underneath it. It's just a question of when the funds decide to sell it.
And your bids for the day, Larry, are?
Our bids for the day, cash corn, we're at 215, pretty flat out to July. July's at about 231. New crop, 237, January, 253, cash beans at 573, July, 595, new crop at 599, and January at 614.
It was good to talk to you. Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Larry Wood of the Andersons. He manages the facility here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday right here on the Closing Market Report. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Veterans and minorities advocates are critical of the Blagojevich administration for hiring politically connected interns and skirting standard hiring procedures. The Associated Press reported yesterday that at least one-third of the interns that agencies under Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich put on the payroll have ties to Democrats. They may be hired without following laws to give preference to veterans and minorities. Roy Williams, Jr. of the Illinois Association of Minorities in Government says he'll request a list of interns and their races. The capture early today of the last two of six inmates who broke out of the Cook County Jail in Chicago over the weekend solves immediate safety concerns, but there remain a host of questions about jail security, including whether guards themselves are helping inmates. Cook County Sheriff Michael Sheehan says their investigation will examine the possibility that guards assisted the dangerous inmates break out of the jail's maximum security division. Indiana State Police say more aggressive enforcement and tougher sentencing are the key factors behind a drop in the number of methamphetamine labs found operating in Indiana last year. Police also credit recent restrictions on common meth ingredients such as the farm chemical anhydrous ammonia. Champaign County Board Member Nancy Greenwalt is seeking more safeguards for tenants of rental housing. Greenwalt, a Democrat, says setting rental housing standards for unincorporated areas would give tenants a tool to correct immediate health or safety problems when landlords won't take action. Greenwalt is vice chair of the county board's Environmental and Land Use Committee, which meets tonight to consider the proposal, as well as a proposal for a county building code. Public schools in Champaign and Urbana are holding special activities as part of National African American Parent Involvement Day today. Parents are accompanying their children to class and taking part in lectures and tours conducted by students at Robeson Grade School in Champaign. Former Negro League baseball player Ernie Westfield read today to students. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago on this Monday to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Mark.
Hi there, Todd.
Tell me about the South American weather to begin with and what we can expect for the Argentine growing and Brazilian growing regions.
Well, this week, Argentina is on the dry side with warming temperatures. In fact, by week's end, we expect highs to climb into the upper 90s, a few areas reaching 100 degrees, so some kind of late summer heat across Argentina. Across southern Brazil, though, we are going to see kind of the daily development of showers and thunderstorms, some possibly heavy in nature. And actually, Rio Grande do Sul, or what we call RGDS there in far southern Brazil, that's been the driest area this season across southern Brazil, and so they have potential to get some rains here this week. As we go into next week, though, it looks like both Argentina and southern Brazil are going to see more significant rains with a widespread frontal system pushing through the region during the early to middle portion of next week. And the way that things are going here, certainly it looks like with that rain event next week, that should basically finish off the soybean crops across that area.
Yeah, so everything will be finished off in good shape and no real problems for their growing season this year.
No, you certainly haven't had any kind of major issues. Now, we've come kind of down to the wire here several times this season as far as the dryness or the crop stress at least escalating enough to cause some significant yield declines, but the rains came just in time. We saw that a couple weeks ago. We saw that back in middle of January, and that's been enough to just keep them going. Things look pretty good at this stage of the game.
Turn your attention to North America. Update us on the southwestern conditions and how they're faring through the drought.
Well, certainly they're not faring very well at this time across the Plains Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt. And the bottom line is that we do not see any kind of significant precip across that area here over the next 10 to 12 days. And so as a result, you're going to continue to have these very low soil moisture reserves at this time. So certainly they're going to need rains here once you get into the springtime as the crop emerges from winter dormancy.
And finally, if you could wrap up right here in the Midwest, tell me what weather might be expected to be like over the next couple of days.
Well, for the next couple of days here, we are going to see temperatures actually on a warming trend here after our kind of cool, even though it's kind of a seasonal day here today across the Midwest. We are going to see precipitation increase as we go into later in Wednesday and on into Thursday. And at least on the southern extent of the system, we'll see rain, but on the northern extent, some snow and kind of a wintry mixture, especially for the western areas of the Midwest.
Mark, thanks much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Mark
My
Russo
pleasure.
With Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us from his office on Monday afternoons. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can join us again tomorrow morning at 8:49, that for our pre-opening market report, and then again at 9:49 for the opening market report, well, both of those with David Dickey, of course. And you can hear all of those along with the futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on our website. Don't forget about the podcasts that are available. You can have all those things delivered, or several of them delivered directly to your computer via iTunes and podcast. Just go to WILL.UIUC.edu, click on AM, and then Agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.